Welcome to the second talk for today. These are Tim Janik and Stefan Westerfeld from Hamburg, North Germany. As a short information, last year they had handed in a paper for their BEAST application. Unfortunately, Stefan got very sick weeks or months before, and so they couldn't attend. We have been publishing the paper last year as part of the proceedings because we knew about this too late. We are not republishing the same paper this year, but it has been relinked on the web page, and I'm very happy that they are here now this year to present their software. And I think it deserves a lot more attention because tremendous amounts of work have been put in by both. I've been checking the CVS for a couple of months, like updating every day and seeing 10, 15 or more files being changed every day, and this was for weeks and for months. I have to admit myself, I didn't yet use it as much as I'd like to, but after I received some explanations from you about how to run it in a more time-stable fashion, details I didn't know about, maybe things to be improved in documentation, I think now I will also be trying it next week again, and I'm very excited about your talk. Please go ahead.
So, this talk will be a more or less a demonstration. So my intention is to show most of the features that you would want to use in music making with BEAST. And for this, I have taken several brief snippets of music so I can show some features in some different pieces of music, so you will get an impression of how BEAST sounds like and how to use it. And I will start with a song. Which is also online. And give some explanation about some parts or some aspects of how the song was made. So I think I just start playing the first few, few parts of it. So what you see here is that the song uses actually six tracks where only the drums are samples and the rest is synthetic. And as an example how you make music with BEAST, I will explain the bass, which is the underlying feature of all the song. So we'll just mute away the rest, and then what remains is this. And what you hear is that it has a slight variation in time, so it doesn't make a constant sound, but it is constantly changing somewhat. And to see why this is so, we look at the monobus network. And to keep things simple first, I will now start taking out parts and explain the simpler things first. So the first thing to remove is the MIDI input. So now it's just one constant note, and it sounds like this. Okay. And what you see here is that we have an envelope, which is used for, is it okay if I point with the mouse? Okay. We have an envelope here, which is used for several things. You can see that it connects, I think the most important thing is that it connects to the amplifier, so it determines how loud a sound is. And once the note gets hit, it has an attack, decay, sustain, and release. It's some standard envelope, which makes the basic volume. And the envelope is also used to change the frequency of this filter here, which means that at the beginning of the note, the filter has a lower cutoff frequency. It's a low pass filter. So at the beginning of the note, there will be lower frequencies. Then we have here three octaves of exponential modulation. So the filter will be three octaves higher at the peak of the envelope. While the note is sustained, it will go down to 50% that you see in the filter. It has here a sustain level of 50%. And at the end, it will go down to the basic frequency of the filter again, which here is 194 hertz. Okay. I don't know, I could show it without, maybe. It would be. And with it, it's like this. So it makes the sound more interesting. And then it also, the sound consists of two oscillators, one for the filtered part here, which is a pulse waveform, and the other is also a pulse waveform, but it isn't filtered. The two are added together. And then there is a canyon delay, which creates some sort of spatial echo. And I think for the song, I also tuned the delay times to the song tempo, so that the individual notes repeat on the next note. So the delay time corresponds to the tempo. And there's some chorus effect after this. And this one is a mono instrument, which means, in this song, this network is present all the time. So there's not several voices of it, but it's just a same network which gets triggered over and over again. For other things like the organ, which is in the song, Beast does a polyphonic voice allocation. To do something like this, you can here say auto-activate, and this means that this specific instrument, if you hit on play, it will be there. And once you put the MIDI in again, so I'll do it by undo, it will also it will receive the frequency from the MIDI input. Here is a MIDI channel specified, which says, okay, if there's MIDI events on channel one, then I'll use them and take the frequency, re-trigger the envelope, and use the velocity so that the individual notes can have different velocity. Okay, so the next song I want to show you is. Okay, I could show some events here. This is this track, which actually is driving this frequency stuff. So here, channel one is specified, and the MIDI events are here, and yeah.
Stefan, play.
Problems, then the window disappears if I hit play. Okay, next song, I did this one with a friend of mine. It's just a brief snippet, like this. Okay, and in this song, I want to point out to the mixer Beast uses. You see that the different tracks here have outputs which are named, like bus 1, bus 2, and so on. And here is the mixer, where bus 1, bus 2, bus 3, and so on exist. And the output of the instruments goes over the mixer. And you can say basically which tracks are input signals for which mixer channel and where it should be outputted. So you can create arbitrary complex routing because you can also route mixer channels to other mixer channels. And I can show you. And the other feature I wanted to show here is that Beast is able to use samples. As you hear, the drums are samples. And to use samples, there exists the WAVE repository in Beast, which you can find here. And there you can load the samples you want to use. And you can play them here. So this just contains the different samples that are contained within the song. We don't only support WAVE files here, but we have implemented support for MP3 and OGG, so that you can make a big sample collection small, or you can make your song which contains a huge amount of samples small. And another feature I want to show when talking about samples is that you can load really large files from here. I think this one will fade in again. Mm. So okay, just some radio recording, and what we can see here is that we can speak within the radio recording, although it's a huge OGG file. The whole recording is 2 hours, so, and the average bit rate is 140 kilobits. So to decode it completely, it would take 1 minute. And to decode it, it's a 100 megabyte file. It decodes to 1.2 gigabytes. But what this can do is intelligent caching. So it just decodes what it needs editing things with different zoom levels, it will start auto scrolling like this. Okay. So this was the wave repository. Now I'll load another snippet, which is this one. Okay. What I wanted to show here is what's that? Oh, okay. What I wanted to show here is scripting, and to demonstrate this, I first show you how this sounds. Okay. And then we take out one of the channels, the main melody channel, so to speak, add another one, and let's say we want to be really quick with composing another channel. So what we do, I need a bit more volume as well. Okay, it's like, we put some chord in here, like this, and here, like this. Okay. And now if we know which harmonies are used in the piece, we can use a script, which is the harmonic transposer, where you just give the harmony sequence, which is in this case D minor for two measures, then it's A sharp for two measures. Then it's G minor for two measures, C major and A major, and we say execute, and we have a whole new track. Oh, well, I shouldn't have executed it again, sorry. Okay, but we have undo. Here you see also the piano roll widget, which many people find actually quite good to use. Okay, play. somebody is shouting play. So these scripts are currently written in Scheme, so you can we use Guile for this, so you can control almost everything that Beast does via the scripting interface. To demonstrate another script, I have explained the mixer channel thing, and you see that by default new tracks get assigned to master, but there is a script here, which just will create, will look at each track and see, oh, this track is assigned to master, but it should be in an individual mixer channel. So what it will do is create a new mixer channel and assign it to there. So you can let this run. Or maybe I showed before that right now it's on master. Okay, and I simply the script, and then we have a new track here, and it's over there, and then you can mix it properly with the rest of the song, because it's rather loud. What else can be seen here? What I haven't mentioned so far is that Beast supports post-processing effects. So for this track here, there is declared a post-processing effect here, which means that all voices are played, mixed together, and then they are sent to this network, which in this case contains this stereo echo. And here, in this case, it has been tuned to song speed again. So I can show that this is really good. Another thing you can see within this network is that we support LUTzbar plugins. Yes, and they get a nice GUI, just as the other Beast modules, to the degree at least that LUTzbar allows this. Yes, okay. Then another brief snippet of music. We can do this away. It's just that you can get an impression of different things made with Beast. Okay. What I wanted to show here is just that we have seen you can use simple samples, but Beast also has a multi-sample format, which allows you to specify that on different nodes of the same wave, different samples are played. So you have here different samples in here. It's actually an 808 drum kit, and in the song it looks like this, that you have here three different wave files sequenced in the same part. Okay. I think one also essential feature of Beast is that you can automate module control values.
Test, test. Can you hear me still?
Oh, okay.
You should change microphones then. Still on?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, we're going to swap them.
Okay, I'll put it here, perhaps. Okay, so I just show the automation stuff. I take those tracks out that have nothing to do with automation. Then you will hear that there's something constantly changing. It's controlled via MIDI events on this track. As you see, no notes, but we have a general purpose controller 1, which makes this, sends these events, and general purpose controller 2, which sends these events. And you might wonder, okay, you fade me down, or this one down. You might wonder why I didn't put them in one track, but the purpose of doing this is that you can put automation events in parts and notes in different parts, and then you can put the same automation events, for instance, on different notes, or you can put different notes but use the same automation events. So this is why this is split up like this. And in the GUI, automation looks like this, that we have, is this the one automated? No, this one. That we have the sliders moving here. While Beast is not playing, you can say, okay, I want that this is controlled by MIDI channel 1, general purpose controller 3, or something. So for those properties where Beast supports automation, you have these fields to click on, and then you assign which controllers are used. Okay. And now, finally, if you put it all together and have lots of time, you can make, I'd say, real long songs with sophisticated mixing and arrangement and so on. And so this uses many of the features I have shown you. It was made by an American guy called Filterchild, but it's so long that I probably not play the whole thing. But I'll seek a bit so that you get an impression of what Beast actually can do. We'll be right back. have seen now was just non-real-time stuff. So now I wanted to show something that is done in real-time. I mean, everything is done in real-time, but obviously for that kind of stuff it's not critical. So here we set the latency to 25 milliseconds, and then load microphone-driven thing. It uses the same Canyon delay that also was used in the monobus, if you remember. And
yes, it sounds like if you speak over the microphone.
So this just for seeing is this real-time capable, which is interesting because you definitely want to use Beast to connect your MIDI keyboard and play on the MIDI keyboard, and everything gets synthesized in real-time. Or you want to do recording in the sequencer and have the Beast engine do a real-time synthesis. Okay, I think we are done with this. I could show another song. I think you have. Oh, okay. I can say something about instrument design or something more. Just another song. Looks like this. Okay, start it. I have shown you mono instruments. So for a change, let's look at one or a monophonic instrument. Let's look at one polyphonic instrument, which would be here the strings. You see, it's polyphonic. And how to do this in Beast? It works much the same way like with monophonic instruments. You also take some input module which gets a frequency, gate, velocity, and so on. But the difference is here that at the output you have left, right, and then you have done. And what you need to do is that once the instrument is silent, notify the Beast engine that it can cut away the voice and reuse it. So you simply, the ADSR envelope has such a signal as well, so it's all the time zero, and once the ADSR envelope is done, it goes to one, so it's done, and you connect this one here, and then the instrument will get reused. So you don't, this is the way to do polyphonic instrument in Beast, and here this column is for controlling how much polyphony is used. Here it's all defaults to 16, but only the voices that are actually allocated also use CPU. Okay, I think this was all I wanted to say about Beast for now. Yeah, the first thing is questions, I think.
The first thing is, wow. If I may take the liberty of asking the first questions, can I drive other software synthesizers through ELSA, like Syner, SuperFX, FluidSynth, can I run them through Beast? As in starting them externally and then just have Beast output its events to some other ELSA sequence port?
Currently that is not possible. We have a couple of Synthesis facilities built into Beast with the modular Synthesis and playback of samples, and we are currently looking into extending that for like some font, and plan for some kind of future point is supporting things like complete synthesizer hosts in Beast, but so far you can't actually plug them.
Okay, audience questions. There are many, I'm sure. There is one.
I'm Sampo Savolainen from Finland. Does Beast use Jack?
Okay, I can say something. When we started off thinking how to do Jack and Beast, we wanted to do it in an abstract way, so that we say, okay, we have a library which does Jack or other things, and Port Audio was supposedly such a library which does Jack, ELSA, it does under Windows, have several methods, and it has Jack support, but now that we have a Port Audio driver, we see that it doesn't quite work. So there are issues like if you disconnect the Beast output, which has been created via Port Audio with some Jack control program, then Port Audio gets confused because it wants to disconnect this itself. And there will be more such issues, such as Port Audio hasn't been released for a long time. So in the end, we will probably write a known Jack driver. So, okay, if you now want to use Beast with Jack, you can. With Port Audio, it works in a limited kind of way, but there will be a Jack driver, which is not via third-party library.
Second question relating to Jack. What about Jack MIDI when it comes out? Will you be interested?
Yes.
When it comes out.
Yeah, when it comes up.
Another short question I had. I noticed that during the playback of those small drum patterns, there was quite some lag between the playhead and the sound we heard. Was this same on your notebook, or is it just from the display?
Actually, that was Stefan's current setting. Can you show the BC preferences again, please?
Okay.
To work with Beast, you can actually adjust the sound card settings, and in particular the latency in milliseconds. And if you want completely drop out audio playback, you can set this to something like 250 milliseconds, which makes Beast make use of large sound card buffers. But if you want short latency, for instance, to alter your drums via an external MIDI keyboard, you don't want to work with 250 milliseconds latency. So you can slide this down to like 25 or 15 or 10 or 5 even, depending on your kernel and sound card. And on this machine, on my laptop, for instance, Beast runs pretty much without dropouts at 12, 13, 14 milliseconds. On my home machine, it does so with 5. On some other machines and some older kernels, it might do so only with above 20 milliseconds. You get pretty good latencies actually with the newer kernels, or like 2.6.14 and up. We had another talk. We had have no microphone. Am I back? Okay. Well, yeah, I was just talking about the kernel version. So with the 2.6 kernels, latency behavior is pretty good, especially with the last versions.
There's one question from IRC, which has been answered in part, so I'll just change the question slightly. Lars Lutman from Stockholm has asked originally whether Beast would be able to synchronize to Jack Transport, now that we heard that currently you're using a port audio layer. Is that a feature that you have been thinking about to integrate in your own Jack backend?
Well, you're basically thinking about a native Jack driver, because there's so many things you can't do with the Jack support in port audio. So yeah, interfacing with the various Jack services will be part of writing this driver.
Okay, I had one more question myself. When you showed the waves pool window, right now it was a linear list of samples. Do you plan something like categories to sort wave files into? Like having one folder for just piano samples, drum samples, natural voice samples, bird sings, and so on. I guess that by the point you start with really complex songs, you have hundreds of samples, and you don't want to search such a large linear list for one particular. You want to want them assorted in categories.
Kannst du mal Instrument laden, den Dialog aufmachen?
Das Ding oder was?
Ja, genau. This is actually the dialog where you can load instruments. This is not limited to samples. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is not limited to samples. And we are currently trying to extend the instrument range. Getting enough samples and instruments for free that'll create browsing problems for us is one of the things we'd like to have. And at that point, we can shift this dialogue to something that is like tree-based and does certain kinds of categories, maybe via directories, maybe not. But as the number of instruments is extended, we are probably going to also adapt the GUI to provide a better browsing experience. But currently, one of the main problems with Beast really is it's not too easy to create instruments. Stefan showed some of the ways to create the thesis instruments. But to be honest, there is something like most users can't do out of the box. There's something you need to learn as well. So that's also why Beast has a sample support, because it's pretty easy to use. But for samples, you've got a problem that there are not too many really free, modifiable, and reusable samples out there. And so that is something we're trying to extend with Beast as far or as good as we can.
So this is also a clear call for participation for people to willing to produce sample sets, free sample sets that you may include in
the
distribution.
Yeah, sure, that would be great.
Also,
I think I mentioned this earlier. We are planning on integrating sound font support next. So if you're going to create sound fonts and place them under a free license on the web, that is going to help a lot of projects, of course also Beast then. And a free license here means a sample set or a sound font should be modifiable and redistributable. That means it can be integrated in various kinds of formats into various kinds of projects.
Any other questions? Yeah.
Hello, this is is Hanwen Inhuis from the Netherlands. I have a very stupid question because I actually never use sequencers, but supposedly I would do. Then there's a lot of programs, and I was wondering how does Beast compare to, for instance, Musa and Rose Garden and the other stuff out there? Sorry if this is a loaded question.
I'm not exactly sure what to say to that, actually. For the most part, if I'm using sequencers, I use Beast. So I'm not using Muse that much. I could probably talk about, well, problems I encounter with different sequences, but I don't think that would actually wise to do. So I think if you want to compare different kinds of sequencers, there's probably something you better read up in articles or do yourself then.
Okay.
Do you have something to add to that?
No.
Okay.
I think there was one more thing I was going to ask, but I forgot about it. Oh yes, the waves and MP3 files. You said you can handle very large files. For simple drum sounds, do they have to reside in memory during playback? Do you nail them down with some mlock call, or do you load them on demand?
No, that was part of the demo that Stefan showed here. The 120 gigabyte OGG file and 120 megabyte OGG file he loaded up wasn't loaded completely into memory. We don't even spend 120 megabyte for the OGG, and we don't, of course, not spend 1 or 2 gigabytes of memory for the raw decoded sample data. So what Beast does is, it has a bit of a different requirement set as far as samples are concerned, if you compare it to things like a normal media or players, because as an enthesis instrument, it needs to be able to randomly seek all the files. But it still can handle files that are much larger than memory because it simply loads in the currently needed portion. And for MP3 or OGG files, it decodes the currently needed portion, also with random access. MP3 supports that to some extent. You need to help this a bit. But OGG Vorbis supports it out of the box. And then it just keeps the recently decoded stuff in memory.
Okay, then I think we'll end this session here. You let me know that you are still available, of course, until tomorrow, I guess. And at least for today, you're going to set up your PCs up there in first floor near the surf station and are willing to do some small in-depth demonstrations for those interested. But then it's thank you very much. And now it's lunch break time. The next talk here will be at 2 p.m. by Michael Eber. And another thing, there was one cell phone found at the surf station, a Sony Ericsson. If any of you is missing one, it's right with me, just so you know. Thanks.